Breakfast puppies?
This podcast contains adult language and content and is meant for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
We're all set to begin, so let's dive right in to Bikers, Dice, and Bars. Talking bicycles and motorbikes, gamer things and all the like. You can listen to it in your cars, but mostly it's about dive bars. Bikers, Dice, and Bars.
Hey, NPC. What are we drinking?
This time we are drinking something that, something else from my recent foray looking for beers for the show. This is the Giant Panda Hazy IPA.
Robot Panda.
But a giant robot panda, you know, giant robot.
This
anyway.
Gigantic robot this, kills.
This beer has me very confused.
It is from Hopworks Urban Brewery here
that
in
That would explain
Portland,
it.
Oregon. It is 6-something%, I think. Let's see. India Pale Ale Hazy.
The beer smells like a brewery.
6.2% alcohol by volume. Does not have mentioned their bitterness.
So, fun fact. Interesting. I used to live about 3 blocks from the Hopworks Brewery on Powell.
Mm. I'm sorry.
And this smells like the wind blowing west.
No, that's what I'm saying. It totally smells like a brewery. It smells like when we had that that Ransom gin that had hops added to it, which yep, just smelled like a brewery. This beer smells and tastes like a brewery. I don't know how else to explain it. It just.
I get that. I used to live downwind from a brewery in Colorado, so
yeah, I get that. That yeah, potent smell you get when you take that brewery tour of all those hops.
Oh,
being,
yeah.
Being, oh, man. Yeah. Being boiled. It smells like it smells and tastes like a hop boil.
Well, I've, you know, never really been a fan of Hopworks locations because they're full of children. Because they let people bring their kids to the fucking bar.
Yep.
They are brew pubs.
They're a brew pub. Right. And that's why I don't go out that often. But when I've been, I've enjoyed their beer. Mm-hmm. And they actually have pretty good food. Mm-hmm. If it weren't for all those damn pesky kids.
So someday NPC is going to open his own brew pub that is 21 and over.
God, fuck your kids.
And it's going to be called Get Off My Lawn.
So what you're saying is NPC and Just Jacob are doing a joint business venture in your future.
With me on the lawn, going full Gran Torino, sitting on the front lot.
Full Gran Torino.
Okay,
minus the racism?
Yeah.
Light racism. I'm allowed to. I'm ethnic. Anyways. Sitting there, you know, with an M1 grant, just cleaning that, drinking beer, chain smoking cigarettes, and having a cute dog to pet.
There you go.
That's fine. As long as I get a rocking chair on the porch with my shotgun cradle, I'm
100%.
So that the actual brew pub is going to be a classic style house. It's going to have a complete wraparound porch.
Yep.
And all of the seats on the porch will be rocking chairs.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Speaking of old people and rocking chairs, you're listening to Bikers, Dice, and Bars here in Portland, Oregon. I'm NBC.
I'm Just Jacob.
I'm not that old yet. Sorry, Dr. Xander Gerrymander.
You will be.
Shut up, child.
I am Poppy Beaujolais, and I've recently become older.
You're older than you've ever been,
and now you're even older,
and now you're even older,
and now you're even older.
You're older than you've ever been,
and now you're even older,
and now you're older still.
Yes.
Time!
Keeps marching on! Okay, yeah, sorry.
We're good.
Time.
As regular listeners of the podcast will know, we do these in a recording that we record multiple episodes back to back. As you can guess, we've done a couple before then and before now, I should say. And we are having a good buzz on.
I'm pretty drunk.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one staying sober because it's the middle of the fucking day on a Saturday and I'm going out later. So
plus you cheated.
We started afternoon. It's all good.
I cheated?
You skipped the second round.
I had a few sips of the beer. I was just I had nothing to say about space games, and I was like, you boys have fun. I'm going to go take a shower.
Everyone who considers that cheating, please raise their hand.
Shot.
There was consent from the entire table.
Yeah.
Ethical skipping.
I mean, we may have agreed that it's okay you cheated, but that doesn't change the fact it's cheating.
Oh, for fuck's sake. That is not how that works. Anyway, what are we talking about?
We're talking about drunk DMing.
Yeah, this is a good time to talk about it.
Yes.
Oh, drunk. Yeah. So,
are we talking about direct messaging someone when you're drunk?
No, we're talking about running a game.
You know, it's funny because when the topic possibility was posted to our channel about drunk DMing, my brain went there. It's like, what about drunk texting?
Drunk dungeon monitoring?
Yes.
Don't exactly. Do that. Oh, no. Holy shit.
Oh, boy. Did I miss send the wrong text the other night? That was really funny.
Oh, boy.
Ooh. I was.
I don't think you want this committed to a recordable medium, sir.
Is this going to be a Patreon only segment?
No, I don't cut anymore.
It is pretty funny.
Yep.
One of the jobs I work at, you know. We're all pretty just raunchy with each other as far as just text and communication. It's just no fucks given. No one cares.
And, HR nightmare.
Oh, HR. I hardly knew her.
What's HR?
Yeah, if I may just review the text real quick, because it's pretty great.
Oh, no.
I was asking my boss. I had two bar backs the other night, and I'm like, is it 20% per each? Is it 20% total, 10% for each? Whatever. And he goes, I'll use your judgment, blah, 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 blah. And he reminded me that he cut all the food for the night, which meant I should tip them out less. And I said, shit, do I have to tip you out too now or just the tip? And then he replied back, just the tip, the little splashy water emoji, which we all know what that's supposed to mean. And then I wrote back, I'll leave an envelope full of jizz for you in the safe where we leave people their tips.
Yeah.
Except I accidentally sent that to a friend without context. And she was like, whoa, are you that bad bored at work? And I was like, and then of course, telling this person I was supposed to send that to my boss doesn't make it sound any better. I was like, I swear to God, there's context here.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
So anyways, not direct messaging. Let's go back to dungeon mastering or get what I have to go.
It's funny because there's a lot of different contexts here for different terms that we're using. Because DMing, drunk DMing can mean different things.
Yes.
But dungeon mastering also means different things.
True.
So it's very... and the term Whoa. RPG, of course, also means different things.
Can I have a rocket-propelled grenade?
I ask a Ukrainian farmer.
Yeah. You can have them all.
Then, of course, there's GM, which also means different things. Yeah, the terminology here is it's amusing how versatile it is and how it can be completely... Yes, that.
Oh. Yes. So
drink.
Yes, I am. Thank you. My fine robot panda.
So we're talking about running a game in this instance rather than our personal horror stories about drunk DMing, because I don't want to go to that dark place in my life. And as it is, I spend way too much time getting drunk texts from others.
Drunk DMing. Well, I never call it DMing because I didn't start with D&D. I started with Playdium, where it's GMing. So. Mm-hmm. Drunk GMing.
General Motors?
Yes.
Game mastering.
Yes. Oh.
Genetically modified. Anyway, the drunk GMing is difficult unless everyone else is drunk, and then you're just, you know.
You'd think
you're just
that.
Drinking with dice.
You'd think that. A number of times over the course of my life, I have been at a convention or... At one point, just got off work and wanted to go home after bartending, and I'd had my free drinks because I'm from the upper Midwest. There's not an end of shift drink. There's an end of shift drinks.
I work at a place like that now, and it fucking rules.
And suddenly I get a phone call Jacob, we need to have you run a D&D game or whatever. And so I am well on the way of Four Sails of the Wind, and I am well far ahead of everybody else when it comes to alcohol intake. And so I am the least sober person at the table. And now I need to perform like a goddamn monkey for a bunch of players who don't value my inputs as a game master and expect me to remember the rules when I've had six shots.
Oh, my Lord.
Isn't the initial thing saying house rules, motherfucker? Because that seems like that is the best way to go and solve that problem right away.
Absolutely. If you get Jacob as your drunk DM for the evening, house rules, motherfucker, is the first rule you put out on the table.
And I think the reiteration of that rule means house rules, the house rules.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welcome to my house. Welcome to my town.
Mm-hmm. Best thing to dance and have a good. Sorry, Christian Kane. If you want to sponsor a podcast, please let us know.
But absolutely, you are 100% right. The easiest way to run a game while intoxicated is to have your players be as intoxicated as you are. Collective stupidity is an amazing thing.
Well, turning it into a drinking game is pretty simple. But we used to play D&D, Dungeons, Dragons, and Drunk.
I used to be a part of those games.
Yeah, buddy Alex's old place of residence.
That sounds amazing.
Oh, D&D was the fucking best. The first time I got to do any kind of role playing outside of high school when I moved to Portland was with NPC over here. And he would invite me over to his place to play D&D, and it fucking ruled.
Just for the reference, the first time you played with me wasn't D&D. It was Fading Suns, right?
Yeah, that is true.
You at least experienced me gaming sober.
But then after that, that's when, like, you know, Quota Kappa came up.
Yeah.
And then my Cut Purse player, and yeah. And then, anyways.
I could really go for some D&D, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. As someone who ran a lot of SS&S game, Sangria, Sorcerer, Speed, and Sorcerers, it was...
Wow. Yeah, so we're going to have a whole episode about Jacob's checkered past someday.
Hey, I publicly admit that my life experience has been... Well, I've treated my body like a four-wheel drive truck, and I have the dents to prove it.
Is that literally how River Phoenix died?
Well, no, River Phoenix was not doing speed. And more to the point, I was doing 70s speed, not 90s speed. Mm. There's a world of difference between the two.
Okay.
But
no, he was on a speedball.
On a speedball. Okay. That's worlds of difference. Although gaming under the effects of a speedball is fucking weird. I mean, Dungeons and Dragons and cocaine is a
D&D and C.
I'm a rock and roll guy.
There's like so many dragons.
Dungeon crawl classics? No, dungeon crawl and cocaine. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. C and C.
So, I mean, I am very open about the fact that I am a survivor of the 80s and 90s.
AD&D and ADHD?
ADD and ADHD.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm done.
And so the use of substances of all sorts.
You're a survivor of the era that made movies like The Ice Pirates.
Oh, yes. More to the point, under the... TSR game, Star Frontiers, I had to run a game for a group of players that decided to start off the night by getting totally hammered on Crow whiskey. My favorite.
Wait. Hold on. Crow or Old Crow?
Old Crow All whiskey. Right,
because I was thinking, like, is this some young crows?
No. There are old crows and there are dead crows, but there are nothing in between. And between the six of us, we had split three bottles of Old Crow whiskey. So it was a light drinking night for me. Oof. And I ran a game of Star Frontiers.
Better than old granddad.
And let me tell you, Star Frontiers is one of the those older style RPGs where there's a lot of math involved.
Mm-mm. Less or more than Traveler?
Less.
Okay.
Unless you're, I mean, it all depends on whether character creation comes into play, because honestly, one of the notes I would add is if you were a drunk as a game master, doing a character creation session of Traveler is one of the best things you can do, because it's all about making the players track the math. And
you gotta just skip Traveler and go best to Hole.
Oh, yeah. Hole. Hole is a particular Listen, mention of sir. Mine.
Okay, hold on really quick.
I don't need any more PTSD.
Hammercrawl and Hitachi. Palladium and Pot. Monster Hearts and MDMA. What have I got?
No, Monster Hearts and Meth.
Monster Hearts and Meth?
Monsters and Meth. A game about high school romance and meth? Oh my God, I'm having flashbacks.
Oh, so Gresham.
Gresham, I hope you weren't looking to sponsor a podcast, because we're not it.
Gresham, I apologize for that joke.
Gresham is currently screaming, you mean Rockwood.
I think it's Portland.
Mean Springfield.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Sorry. So drunk.
Drunk game mastering, game running mastering. A game. You know, the first key point is to set the expectation when you get to the table, whether your players are drunk, whether you are drunker than them, whatever. Drunk DMing is one of those things that really puts into focus exactly how much weight is on a game master.
So this will be a follow-up question that we can either do right now or at the end of this. I want to know, how have you all GM'd drunk?
So you've never GM'd.
I have never GM'd.
Have you ever GM'd?
No.
Okay. So
I think all of the GMs here, yes,
have.
So I want to know what is different about your sober GMing versus your drunk GMing, and if you've noticed any major differences. That's what I want to know about.
Well, just making a note to follow up from our ADHD episode, I will frequently have a beverage or two when I GM. It helps loosen me up, because I'm, you know, pretty wound up with ADHD. So it helps like free my mind and keeps me more in the moment and having a good time. Now, something that Jacob had said earlier reminded me of many, many occasions at some of our unnamed local gaming conventions where I would be gaming and Poppy would come up and be like, oh, hey, you want some of the special Coke? I was like, yes, bring me a bottle of the special Coke. And the special Coke is just, you know, Coca-Cola. That's also like one third rum.
Right. I drink half the bottle of Coca-Cola and then I pour in the
and, you know,
part of my
especially
duties.
For one of those games that starts at 8 p.m. And yeah. You're like, oh, shit.
Part of my duties as the game master's assistant.
Yeah. I've run many games drunk, but I would say that the vast majority of them were established that we would all be drinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is the best way to go.
And when that happens, everybody's expectations are also pretty levelly set.
They're on like, par.
We're all drinking. That means drinking things are going to happen. So don't expect this to be serious.
Admittedly, I will say that one of the reasons I happen to enjoy drunk gaming, especially if it's part of an established campaign where we've normally been playing sober, but we're having the drunk session, so much amazing character building comes out of those sessions where everybody is pretty freaking ripped. And backgrounds for characters get totally made. You fill in tons of details, because why would you do that? And suddenly the person who has got the filters dropped because they're a little inebriated defends their character history on why they would do that. And suddenly you have hooks And one of the problems I have is partially due to my ancestry and other things. I don't forget what happens when I'm intoxicated.
Same. Never.
And
never have.
I have used those hooks at a later date, and I'm like, well, two sessions ago, you mentioned that the reason you're dwarf is like that is because of this blood debt.
my history, my experience when it comes with a lot of people being drunk at the table is that it tends to just more or less devolve into tropey play.
And, you know, to a certain degree, that's true, especially when I'm running paranoia. Oh, my God. If you want to see every point of Jacob's long and storied history dealing with bureaucracy, get Jacob a couple drinks in and play paranoia.
What do you mean by tropey play?
Okay. So are you familiar with things? Are you familiar with
TV tropes?
Godwin's Law.
Yes.
Godwin's Law is the whole Hitler thing.
It's basically every internet argument, the longer it goes, the chance of somebody bringing up a Nazi reference is increases. So okay. It's a non-zero chance. I don't remember exactly how it is, but essentially,
yeah.
If there's an internet argument that keeps going, the chance of a Nazi reference increases.
You know who else did that? Hitler, yeah. Right? Yeah.
So let's take that and change some of the variables.
Okay.
If there's an RPG session with drinking, the longer it goes, the chances of devolving into a reference to "I want to cast magic missile" is a non-zero increasing chance.
I cast fireball.
Eventually, it becomes "I attack the darkness." The game session, and after that, it's all tropes all the time, nothing but gaming and Monty Python quotes until the session is over.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
I know. It's just that I have never gotten serious role playing out of a drunken session.
Also, side note, if you ever want to see how often you can get NPC to use the word variables, get him more and more intoxicated. This is something I've noticed about the fact that
interesting.
It's one of those go to phrases. I know I have several as well, but yeah.
And I would say, too, even as a player, you know, I would never want to play a remotely serious game. Well, just shit face. That sounds horrible.
What if it was Tom Waits, the role playing game?
Well, then shots, motherfucker.
So, in other words, you do need to play in one of my Delta Green / Call of Cthulhu games.
I rarely want to play a serious RPG ever. So I'm one of those weirdos, I suppose.
I mean, I do like a serious RPG. I think they're a lot of fun. I do enjoy them, you know, but I have a hard time taking something like D&D super seriously because the whole concept is so silly to me.
Really hard to take seriously when the entire concept of what you're about to do is ridiculous. Mm.
So you add that extra D to the equation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I blacked out.
No, Dickel. Like Dickel rye whiskey.
Oh, that's good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, D&D. Anyways.
No, it was actually D is the Dickies. It's the punk rock band from the 90s.
Not like a little cravat thing over your neck? Like
it was, no, it's the very uncomfortable brand of hard-wearing pants.
Oh. No, it's D&DWD, Dungeons and Dragons with Dickie.
Dickie. Dungeons and Dragons and Dungeness Crab?
There we go.
Yeah. Dungeness. Yeah, okay.
For our coastal con someday?
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, so that's why, you know, I've always liked drinking when I played D&D because I just can't keep a straight face when I play that fucking game. And so every time I've played that mostly with NPC over here, it is just made for a fun, lighthearted, good time with ridiculous characters of whom most of, even though intoxicated, were able to go and still play the ridiculous characters really well without metagaming. And it was very impressive. Shout out to Christine Riot right there because boy, Christine was good at that, even though I was a total asshole to her.
So as someone who's been called on at the last minute to run games, including running games at parties where I am very hammered, I have no prep time, and suddenly my a group of players is like, you know, this party's winding down, dude. Let's just run a game. I have some... Yeah. And Allison is, you know, Allison's here and she wants to try out gaming. And so let's do this, dude.
I just want to get laid. That's why we got to play this game,
That's
man.
When you turn to Allison and say, Allison, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
There's like two ways for a nerd party to go. It either devolves into D&D or into an orgy.
I mean, or I mean, into...
¿Por qué no los dos?
D&D and D. Okay, anyway.
D&D and DM. And but...
Again, with those acronyms.
I mean, the crossover between the gaming community and the S&M community is not small. Yeah. Anyways, the advice to game masters who have to run while drunk. Obviously, the best choice is to have your players drinking at the same time. Otherwise, definitely recommend to your players that you play something light. When I've been put on the spot to run games, when I am drunker than I expected to be or whatever, let's do a one shot. And that's how things like some of the great paranoia games I ran happened, or the all halfling party, or the inverse, the all posh elf party, or the all Yazarian party for Star Frontiers. That the tropey, just go for it with gusto.
Or may I encourage you instead, if you are so inclined, to go to Google, open up that web browser, type in the words, single word, no space, hammer crawl, and enter, and just generate yourself a completely ridiculous random character and feed it to a dungeon.
I will say that I think that the perfect game, whether as a DMGM, MGO, know anymore.
TMA, too many acronyms.
There it is.
WTF, it mate. OMG, WTF, LOL, BBQ.
Okay.
Now I want barbecue.
Yeah.
The perfect game to, I think, GM and also to play to is, in fact, Hammer Crawl.
Well said. Every syllable spoken. Chef's kiss.
Now I want D&D and BBQ. Like, can we make that happen too?
Oh, you've never been to one of my hosted Dungeons & Dragons games?
No.
Motherfucker.
But more on that later. Yes, Hammer Crawl.
Hammer Crawl, while inebriated, is one of the best, most fun adventures you can ever have.
HCN. CR, well, Crown Royal?
So,
Hammer Crawl and Crown Royal? No.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Yes.
No.
There have been sessions of Hammer Crawl that I've run for parties, essentially, where we're, you know, eventually we're all hanging out, the party's winding down, we all realize that we're all in this room, the leftovers, some big fucking nerds, so let's play some Hammer Crawl, where the rule was, your character dies, that's fine, but if you want to come back in, you draw a character and take a shot.
Yes. Having been the bartender for one of those sessions.
Well, if you mean by bartender, I have a stand over here with all the booze that people brought, which is 80% vodka, then yes.
I may remember somebody's bachelor party where I was making sure that all the participants were drinking.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Okay, Hammer Crawl and Hefeweizen.
Good choice. Good choice for a warm-up. Hammer Crawl, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's go drink some 4.5% beers and get drunk off of that. Come
Hammer Crawl
on.
And Hennessy.
Oh, my God.
Hammer Crawl and Hendrix.
What's that?
Gin.
Oh, gin.
Are you going to go my way?
I'm going to go your way now. But, yeah, no, definitely propose to your players doing a one-shot, doing something light. Honestly, pulling out the Traveler set and doing just character creation is an epic, epic thing to do when you're drunk, just because nobody enjoys dying in Traveler unless they've had six shots.
Drunken character creation is something that we have proven to be 100% always a treasured experience.
Oh, with a good time.
Drunk, Night yeah. Bane to this day is still like the most fun I've ever had.
The Crystal Bear.
Fucking Crystal Bear. Man, we need to get Linsel back on here sometime. We really do.
Oh my God. So I was not here for the Night Bane episode, and it's literally the only episode the recording of I hold vaguely against you guys, even though the reason for me not being there and you doing it was 100% justified.
I just had an idea, though. Something that could be fun is, again, it requires buy-in from all of your players. If you are running a long-running campaign and you have maybe options for a sillier approach to an evening, you know, perhaps you're doing a straight-up D&D game as it is modernly run, which is the, you know, kind of freak show group that doesn't really make sense anywhere, the you know, the plucky adventurers and whatnot, and you're all adults of legal age who are able to engage in such things, consider an alt night. Mm-hmm. Where you all drink mm-hmm. and play, and it's but your characters are also drunk. Mm-hmm. And then you go into it stating that whatever happens stays in Vegas, kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Hammer bar crawl.
What? I cannot believe you are missing the obvious.
Yes.
What?
Hammered crawl.
Hammered crawl. Yes.
So we have so we have the name of a future meetup for the podcast.
Yes.
My Hammered God. Crawl. Hammered crawl.
Hammered crawl. Crawl.
So as
oh my God, this is happening.
This is happening. This could happen in the Dells.
Jacob, take notes.
I don't need to. I remember when I'm drunk.
Actually, I'm pretty sure Aaron Bowman coined that the last time we hung out with him.
I love it. Ooh, I love it.
Okay. Shout out to Aaron Bowman, yep. Friend of the podcast. Yeah.
And he can be the person that leads us because he doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink. He can be our, like, oh my God. He could be our, I know. Like,
but
guardian.
But he has such energy and patience. I think yeah. that
he clearly could be, he still likes us.
Yeah. So what of the inverse topic we will discuss at a future date is how to GM when you're the only sober person at the table, oh which my. I also have experience yeah. as. But yeah, one
oh my
shot.
God, I had the horrible experience of trying to run some board games for a bunch of stoned people.
Oh my God.
It was the worst. Except for one guy whose thing was the stone more he more weed he smoked, the better he got at board games.
There's always that one riffs, guy.
Riffs and rips.
Raps not rips.
Yeah.
Raps not rips.
Raps not rips.
Ritz?
Ritz. Well, you know, Ritz go with everything.
They really do.
The cream cheese and the pick a pepper sauce. Yeah.
Are you all stoned right now?
No.
Just a little drunk.
Okay. Now I'm wanting Ritz and cream cheese and salmon. And I am also wanting to.
We're getting the fucking munchies here. We've had too much to drink.
And I also want to talk about the fact that when you're drunk is actually a stunningly good time to introduce players to a game you're designing. Mm. I knew I would get that reaction.
I too have played Don't Die.
Not if you want legit playtest experience, but sure, why not?
No, seriously, I have done Transformers, the role-playing game. Right, I ran my first playtesting session drunk. I ran Escape from Nowhere drunk. And I ran a rule set for an alternative rule set for a game called Last Light, all drunk. And let me tell you, especially if you're a weirdo like me who remembers every horrible thing you did while intoxicated the next morning, it is a proof of concept for your rule system. Can it survive you and the players intoxicated?
Okay, that's fair.
Potato vodka and playtesting?
I've done that. That was...
I can't think of a drug or alcohol that starts with P.
That was Transformers, the role-playing game.
Oh, dear.
PCP and playtesting is right there.
PCP and P.
PCP and playtesting? Oh, God, no.
Oh.
You heard it here first.
You know, we really need...
Not with that attitude, young lady.
Oh, my God. I now have a desire to design a game where everyone's a fish.
Well...
So, really quick, since at the end of the podcast,
PCP was originally a fish tranquilizer.
Oh,
but if you want a game where everybody's looking through a fishbowl, then it's got to involve ketamine.
Oh, good God! Okay, here we go.
Okay, holes and role playing. I have not done that, but I have had that player at my table. Yeah. They were a girlfriend of one of the members of a regular in my group, and it was amazing.
On that note,
Versed and Victory.
Well
then.
Yes.
So, real quick, if you get that inebriated while you're gaming, planning on it, make sure you understand that all your friends are sleeping over that night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Take their keys.
Yep. Little beds up ahead of time.
The most boring party in which you all put the car keys in the same bowl.
Right.
One of the things I did regularly for a long portion of my life up until I moved to Portland, and it's one of the things I miss greatly, was shacking up in a cabin for a long weekend, 3-4 days. And there was, you know, we lined up the liquor on the counter and it was a role-playing weekend. Nice. And, you know, I would cook, people would drink. It was amazing.
That does sound amazing.
And, you know, was some of the best campaigns I've played in my life, that was the extended session zero. And everybody was intoxicated. I forced people to take notes. That's another tip if you're drunk DMing.
Ooh, good call.
Force people to take notes.
Yeah, dude. Record
just
it all.
Record it.
Because then you got blackmail later.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't going to go there, but there might be a few micro cassettes around with a couple lawyers from Minnesota with stuff they don't want to ever get public.
So, Jacob, your bachelor party, I am foreseeing Twilight Imperium and tequila.
Ooh.
At some house. Weekend.
I mean, first of all, if we're playing Twilight Imperium, you bring out Evil Jacob in spades if alcohol's involved. And, like, nobody wants to deal with Evil Jacob.
What if we do Command and Conquer and ketamine?
No!
No, it's a C, so it'd be cocaine.
Oh, Jesus.
I know, but the alliteration is better with.
Yeah.
The feds are very interested in this episode.
Yes.
Yeah, this one is going to have a fun time when I upload it to YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Come at me, Johnny Law, motherfucker.
Yeah. Ooh, okay, on that note,
Let's close this shit out. It is entirely possible to run a game while inebriated or under the influence of substances. The key points are knowing your limits, knowing your players, and establishing ground rules in advance. Look for stuff that's fun for you, especially, and consider simplified rule sets or simplifying the rule set that you're dealing with. Everything from flashbacks to alternate side adventures that, you know, may or may not affect the game's continuity to everything to grabbing a bunch of dice and test running one of the games you're developing.
And also, too, if you're a player in one of these games, as we've said before on this podcast, if everyone is establishing that we're drinking or doing other stuff, make sure that you don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy that extends to both of you. As GM, don't show up to a game drunk unless everybody is expecting it. And as a player, don't show up to a game drunk unless everybody's expecting it.
Right.
Like that should go without saying, but absolutely. For many of you, it doesn't. So
it doesn't.
There you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Your limits, you know, keep a good buzz, but don't get drunk.
Because
then you're just going to be like, I'm just that's all I know, you know. It's fucking gin and tonic, motherfucker, you know. Like, you know, you want to just keep a good buzz that loosen you up, lower those inhibitions a little bit, but not so much that you're a dick bag.
I need to run a game for Poppy where she's 3 G&Ts in.
Probably asleep.
Well, then I have the answer for that.
That game is called Letterkenny and Lining Kugels. And you've been listening to Biker's Dice and Bars. This is NPC.
This is Jess Jacob, the developer for the upcoming Letterkenny game. Keep it shiny side up.
Yep.
This is Dr. Xander Gerrymander. If you need any certain types of medications, I am a doctor.
He's not. His first name is Doctor. I am Poppy Beaujolais. And please always drink responsibly.
Yes.
For the love of all that is holy, please drink responsibly.
Or for the love of all that is unholy.
Or whatever.
Or scientific. Yes, or, you know.
For the love of Carl Sagan. Lemon.
Yes. Do crimes, save lives.
There you go. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
We'll catch you next time.
We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for joining us, friend. We've reached the end of Biker's Dice and Bars.